It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Just when you thought it was done, right? I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us. The press conference given by Alex Murdaugh's attorney, Richard Harpudelin, and Jim Griffin focused on their stance on the convicted murderer's innocence and the plan to appeal the life sentence handed down. Lawyers criticized the investigators for incomplete forensic testing and claimed that there was no evidence to prove that their client was responsible for the murders of his wife and son. Harpudelin stated that they intended to take the case to the Supreme Court if necessary. The defense's stance on Murdaugh's innocence and their plan to appeal the sentence spark discussion and debate among the public. Take a listen.
Am I supposed to introduce everybody?
Yes.
Okay. So y'all spread out behind me. Where is everybody? Good afternoon, afternoon. I'm Dick Harpudelin. This is Jim Griffin. That's Emily Dale. That's Maggie Fox. That's Holly Miller. And this is Phil Barber. We are Alex Murdaugh's defense team. We're able to answer your questions. We're not going to make a statement. I know y'all don't want one. So, anybody got a question?
Do you think it was a mistake to put Alex Murdaugh on the stand?
No. Next.
Mr. Harpudelin, why did you object to that jury being dismissed yesterday?
Why didn't I?
Why did you?
For two reasons. One, she admitted she talked to other people about the case, but not specifically. But technically, I think the judge had leeway to excuse her, but she clearly, after we interviewed her back in chambers, in my mind, had not made up her mind. And I thought that was important.
Do you think she would have held your case?
I don't know. She didn't express an opinion to us. She said she was open. She had made up her mind.
Mr. Harpudelin, the defense has made a great deal of points about SLED and their handling of the investigation. From your position in the Senate, do you feel there's an opportunity to address that from a legislative standpoint?
I think there were significant issues, but I won't be addressing that in the Senate unless it comes up in a bill. I'm not going to mix this role with my role as a senator. I would not do that.
Why do you think that the prosecutors didn't reach the death penalty in this case? And what do you make about the judge's comments after the verdict that he agreed with the jurors?
Go ahead.
You need a death penalty.
What now?
Death penalty question.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Why didn't they seek the death penalty?
Well, you know, I'm somebody that's prosecuted and defended a bunch of death penalty cases. And clearly, you never do it in a circumstantial case, all it, because you're not, 99 times out of 100, a jury's not going to sentence somebody to death without a, I saw him do it, he confessed, or, you know, great forensic evidence at the minimum. They had none of that here. Secondly, it would, in a death penalty case, it gives us the ability to individually voir dire jurors, which would have been very helpful here. And the prosecution obviously didn't want that. So I don't disagree with, I mean, if I'd been prosecuting this case, I probably wouldn't have brought it, but based on, you know, what we heard was presented to the Colleton County grand jury by Detective Owen, that Jim crossed, blood spatter that didn't exist, testimony about guns that was wrong. I mean, I can go through the litany with you. Going back to his question, I think SWED needs to do some self-examination on the forensic processing. They did not. I mean, one of the things we complained about was that Maggie's phone would have had all her GPS data on it if they processed it within 5 days. And they because they didn't, the GPS data got overridden. I mean, it was just one, which would have been helpful to Alec. It's fingerprints, footprints, and all kinds of forensic things that weren't done. So what was the question about the judges?
What did you make about the judge's comments after the verdict that he agreed with it and thought it was the right conclusion?
He's entitled to his opinion.
Mr. Herculean, can you expect an appeal anytime soon?
10 days, we'll be filing an appeal.
What do you believe the strongest grounds for an appeal are?
What'd you say?
What do you believe the strongest grounds for an appeal are?
But,
you know, it was the admission of all the financial crime evidence. And that was offered up, you know, as evidence of motive, that because he was confronted about one financial transaction involving attorney's fees by the chief accountant of the law firm, that was being offered as motive for why he would go home and kill his wife and son, which we thought was illogical and ludicrous. And there really was no evidence linking one to the other, and we did not think it should come in. Not only did that come in, but every other financial misdeed that they could bring in over the last 10 or 15 years was allowed in, and we think that we strongly objected. We respect the judge's decision, but we believe that that was an erroneous decision, and we believe that the judge was somewhat misled, because at the conclusion of the case, when Mr. Metters is up on his rebuttal argument in front of the jury, he says to the jury, "Oh, forget about all that motive evidence. We don't have to prove motive. We just have to prove malice," which is right. But why did they go to all the effort to prove motive when at the end they say, "You don't have to believe us on our motive theory"? But by then they had cast Alec as a despicable human being, and that was the reason they offered it in the first place. And we think the appellate courts will take a strong look at that. We feel like that is a very solid ground for an appeal, and we're going to pursue that.
Looking back at the last 6 weeks, long trial, would you guys do anything different in the last 6 weeks? How you
no. Anything in this trial? No. I mean, look, once the judge, first of all, we believe if the judge was going to let that stuff in, it should have been limited to the Ferris case, which is what they were asking him about on Monday on the feed. Number two, Tinsley, the person that made the motion to compel to be heard on Thursday, Dawes Cook, Alex's lawyer, both agreed it wasn't going to be any storm or Armageddon or anything that was going to happen that Thursday. The judge might have issued an order, which months down the line might have posed a problem. So once they got that character information, is he's a thief, he's a liar, then it dictated this jury had to think he was a despicable human being and not to be believed. So it was about character. It wasn't about motive. So as a result, our options were limited. Should he take the stand? Well, you know, we debated that. He always wanted to take the stand. But once that information was in, I mean, if he had to take the stand to explain the kennel video, the lie, if you will. He had to, but he had no credibility. His credibility had been stripped away by the financial misdeeds.
Do you believe his claim today that he's innocent?
Yes.
How is Buster doing, and why did he choose not to speak in the sentencing?
We could have had Mother Teresa up there speaking on behalf of Alec at sentencing. I mean, he was getting a double life sentence. That was expected. I mean, this is Judge Newman. He's a very stringent punisher when it comes to crimes and sentences. I mean, that was never in dispute. And so for Buster to get up and speak on his dad's behalf would not have made a difference. And why do you want to put that kid through more trauma than anybody that we, you know, can imagine has ever been through?
Have his feelings about his dad changed at all from Trump?
What's that?
Have his feelings about his dad changed at all?
You know, I can't speak to Buster's feelings. I can tell you this. There was a lot of effort by the state to convince the family that Alec is the murderer. The family came to trial every day for 6 weeks expecting to hear proof positive that he killed Maggie and Paul, something that they had not heard before. After 6 weeks of trial, they came away more convinced that he did not do this, and they are steadfastly in his camp and support him. And that's where they stand.
What's next for Alec?
Well, Alex will be leaving shortly to go to Columbia to R&E, it's called, where he'll be at the South Carolina Department of Corrections. He'll be evaluated. That's about a 30-day process, and then he'll be sent to wherever the correctional facility that they assign him to.
So, are they asking for any special security measures for him?
No, I don't think. You know, Alec was not optimistic that with all of the scrutiny and press and all of his bad acts being out in the public, in the world, you know, media domain, that he could get, you know, a jury to put out all the noise and just focus on the murder. And so coming in, he was somewhat pessimistic. He became optimistic as we got through the process. But I got to tell you, and all you reporters, you know the whole story, I'm sure. And if you're sitting on that jury, they heard everything that would be in an HBO documentary, a Netflix documentary about the Murdoch family dynasty downfall, except the Stephen Smith matter. I mean, so we were hoping to get a jury to put all, you know, that could ignore the noise, focus on the murder, and we ended up trying a case that they could have watched on Netflix.
Does your legal team have any regrets about the way they conducted this trial? Do you feel like they did? Do you feel like you were outmatched in some
part? Oh, absolutely not. I mean, not outmatched. I mean, look, they won this case the day the judge bought into letting them put every piece of, you know, stealing from kids who lost their mother, from somebody with pancreatic cancer, somebody that's a paraplegic. I mean, all of that 2.5 weeks, by the time they got done with it, it didn't matter about final argument. It didn't matter about what we put up. They would never, ever, ever acquit him after that.
Last question, guys.
Can you just Last question.
What your grounds for appeal will be? You said it's going to be 10 days. Can you lay out your arguments in that?
We'll file something, not in 10 days, but we'll file a notice of intention to appeal. Then we've got 30 days, I think, to file a brief.
Yeah, so you file the notice within 10 days. You got to get a transcript.
Oh, that'll take a while.
Take months before they type up everything. And then we start briefing.
Are you all going to handle the appeal?
Yes.
And argue it in the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court?
And the U.S. Supreme Court.
And the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. That's correct.
What's the federal issue?
Doyle.
Oh, there's a huge federal issue. That's why I got so animated and the judge told me to sit down. Part of the trial is the state eliciting or asking questions of Alec about why he did not come forward and tell law enforcement where he was at the time of the Kennel video. And that was after he was arrested. And there's U.S. Supreme Court cases are clear that post-arrest silence cannot be used against you. And that is a classic violation of the Fifth Amendment. And we feel strongly that if we lose at the state courts, we'll have success at the federal courts.
Can you tell us about the plea negotiations before trial?
No.
There were no plea negotiations.
There weren't any.
They never offered any. him anything.
If you think Alec is guilty, what effort are you making to find the real killer, or what effort is he making?
Not our job to find the real killer. If they had taken fingerprints, if they gotten footprints, if they hadn't destroyed, if they preserved Maggie's phone with her GPS, if they had not, I mean, they misrepresented to the grand jury that they had a shirt with his blood on it, if Owen had opened his email, he says he didn't get, we'd have told him a year before that was there was no human blood on that T-shirt. I mean, it was a comedy of errors in terms of forensics on this. So, do I have faith that they would find the real killer? No.
We don't know.
What? Last question. Say that one more time.
Did you support putting Alec Murdoch on the stand?
There was no choice.
Why?
Because he'd been made out to be a monster who stole from children and crippled people and crippled nothing. That's not a politically correct word. I'm sorry, I'm an old guy. Crippled people who had just done horrible, despicable things, and he had to try to push back on that. And I mean, if he'd went that way without taking the stand, he was toast. Taking the stand, you know, could he pull it off? Apparently didn't.
In hindsight, do you regret not asking for a change of venue in this case?
Not really, because we did focus groups in this case in a county way far away from here. 8 of the 10 people on the 2 focus groups knew all about this case. I mean, there was nowhere you could go that you could find, we believe you could find, a jury that knew, that didn't know, hadn't watched TV, hadn't read the stuff you write, or the stuff, the Twitter stuff. And by the way, one of the good pieces of information, as this trial is over, Griffin can start tweeting again.
That's right.
All right, thank you guys.
That's the latest that we have for you. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any more on this case or the others that we are following for you. You can get a complete episode list in the description of this podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.